I just want to get right into God's Word and share with you this morning. Are you ready for it? I know some of you are a little bit out of place this morning. Why do I say that? Because you used to come to the evening service. And now you awake early and you're here in the morning. It's all right, it's all right. You'll make it. All right, you ready for the Word? I want to share with you quickly. And the title of my message this morning is, When God Seeks Your Attention. When God seeks your attention. How often do you think God seeks our attention? Is it once a month or once a year or maybe once a lifetime? I think God is constantly seeking our attention, constantly, because He wants to fellowship with us. God wants relationship. Remember, He's a relational God. But also, God wants to help us lead and guide us along the best pathway for our lives. And it's so easy for you and me to get onto the wrong pathway, to follow, do our own thing. And do you know that sometimes you can get distracted by good things in your life, by your kids? Your own kids can be a distraction, take you away from even from God and from the things of the Lord. A new relationship at times can be a distraction. A business, a career can be a distraction. Listen to what the Bible says here in Isaiah 53. All of us have strayed away like sheep. Not some of us. At some stage, we've all strayed away. We've left God's path to follow our own. And whenever that happens, we leave God's path, God's way. What does God do? He tries to get our attention. God wants to speak to us. He wants to call us back. And so He tries to get our attention. How does He do that? He always starts with the Holy Spirit on the inside. That's that still, small voice on the inside, just busy prompting us, just nudging us. And sometimes God will use Scripture where you're reading and God will speak to you through Scripture. And if we won't listen to that, then God will sometimes use somebody like me. You listen to a sermon or a talk like this, and God tries to get our attention. And if that doesn't work, then sometimes God will even use the tough times in our lives. Oh, no, God won't do that. Oh, yes, He will. He will. And it's not to harm us, but it's to help us. It's to get us back on track. What does the Bible say in Jeremiah 29:11? That's a verse that we know so well. God says, For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you. Not to harm you. All right? Plans of a hope and a future. So in other words, God has specific plans for your life and my life. He has a specific pathway. That's what we saw in the previous verse. Go back to that. You'll see there's a specific, a godly pathway for us. And so when you and I veer off course, God tries to bring us back. God doesn't say, I see you doing your own thing. Oh, well, go ahead. Knock yourself out. No, He doesn't do that. Because He loves us too much. And He cares for us too much. Do you know the Bible says in Philippians chapter 1 that He will complete the work that He has started in us. So in other words, there's a commitment toward us. God doesn't just leave us and step away. So let's say, for instance, you have a little toddler at home. And this little guy has just started crawling. And you know, when they start crawling like that, especially when they start mastering it, man, they can cover a lot of ground. And the problem is you've just moved into a new home and it's a double story and there's a staircase going up and you don't have those little plastic gate things yet, all right? And so now you've got to constantly check, where is this little guy? And so let's say you're upstairs, you're in the bedroom, and this little guy crawls out the door. You can't casually sit by and say, hey, my boy, come back here. It's dangerous out there. Don't go near the stairs. You can't do that. You can't dare do that. You've got to quickly go and go and grab that little one and bring him back. Why? Is it because you just want to be mean? No, not at all. It's because you love and you care for him. And the same way God loves us and cares for us, except you can multiply that by a million times more than what you and I love and care for a little one. And so whenever you and I veer off course and we do our own thing, God's going to try and get our attention. He's going to try and speak to us. And how does he do it? Always first through the Holy Spirit. And that's where deep down on the inside, you just sense something. So let's say for the single people, you start dating somebody who's not a Christian, not serving the Lord, but man, what a nice person, and I really enjoy them, and they make me feel good, and it's just, you're just so enjoying time with them. But there's something on the inside bugging you, where you just know, oh man, they don't carry the same values, and so on, and what is that? That's the Holy Spirit. Or let's say there's somebody at the office, and you're friendly toward them, but they married or you married, and you know you're a little bit too friendly. And there's something on the inside that's constantly just whispering, just take a step back. What's that? That's the Holy Spirit. Or you've been a little bit casual coming to church, and you just know, man, I shouldn't be skipping, and I need to be a little bit more disciplined in this area, and I need to take responsibility for my family. Again, what's that? That's the Holy Spirit. And so he's constantly going to be prodding us, constantly going to be nudging us. And if we keep going toward that staircase and doing our own thing, there'll come a time where he may even knock us to the ground to get us out the way there. Because this is exactly what happened to the Apostle Paul. Remember that? Before he was known as the Apostle Paul, he was known as Saul. And he was a very legalistic Pharisee. He was very high up in the Jewish religion back then. And so the story goes like this. He wanted to try and keep the Jewish religion pure, because there were this group of people who were following these crazy teachings of this weird guy called Jesus. And he looked at this and he was like, man, we've got to eradicate that. We've got to snuff this thing out quickly before it starts growing and really taking you know, a shape. And so he got permission to persecute these Christians, these new Christians, this strange group of people, and to have them thrown into prison if need be, and if need be, to even kill them. That's how far he took it. And so the one day he's on his way to Damascus to go and seek out more of these Christians and to eradicate this group. And while he's busy going, sun is setting, it's getting dark, and so he's on his horse, he's riding along. And the next moment, there's such a bright light in front of him. It's like this massive truck with lights on bright. And he gets such a fright that he actually falls right off his horse. And before he can recover, he's on the ground. He hears this voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, what are you doing? Why are you persecuting me? And he doesn't know who this is. And so he responds, he says, who is this? Who are you? And the voice says, I'm Jesus. I'm the one you're persecuting. And then Jesus tells him to go on to Damascus, and there he'll find further instructions. But the problem is, he's blind. He can see nothing. And so for the next 3 days, he's completely blind. People have got to lead him along the way. And for the next 3 days, he won't eat, he won't drink. I think this guy was in shock. My question to you this morning is, what does God have to do to get your attention? Because he starts gently. He starts with that whisper, just that nudge. And so let's say there's tension in your marriage. He's going to come along and he's gonna just whisper, hey, just go and apologize. Ah, but I'm just going to apologize. Or he'll say, just spend some time. You guys are missing one another. You're running after this, and just spend some time together. Or he'll say, just treat her with respect. Your tone is disrespectful. Just treat them with respect. And what is that? That's the Holy Spirit busy speaking to us. And so what is he doing? He's nudging us very gently in that direction. And if we won't listen, he'll intensify the nudge until eventually he may have to knock us down to get our attention. And that's where the relationship suddenly, it breaks up. That's where you end in hospital on your back looking at the ceiling. That's where you lose your job. That's where you get a warning at work. Do you know a lady spoke to me just the other day? And she said to me, she said, you know what? And she was broken. She said, you know, I received a warning at work. She says, man, my parents never even had to reprimand me. I went right through school without any hassles, anything. And now I get this warning at work. So, you know, I'm just listening. She said to me, I've had a bad attitude. And I've been critical toward the boss. And I've been walking around talking to others. Until eventually, and she says, the Holy Spirit has been speaking to me about my attitude, maar ek wil nie hoor nie. And she says, and now I got this. And they gave her a final warning. They said, this thing has gotten so bad, if this happens again, you're done. What was happening? God was speaking gently, 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 and then he had to knock her. And some people, oh, no, I don't believe God will do it. Oh, yes, he will. Oh, yes. Because God is more concerned about our spiritual progress than our comfort. He's more concerned about who you're becoming than where you're working, or living, or dining. God wants us to make progress. So, let's get back to the story of that little toddler. Let's say you get up to go and find that little guy, man, and he's on the first stair already, busy going down, and you run over and you just grab and you yank him back. What's going to happen? He's probably going to have such a fright, he'll probably start crying. Or he'll start kicking and screaming, because he doesn't understand why he can't go down. And sometimes that's exactly what you and I do. When God tries to get our attention, we start kicking and screaming because we don't understand. Instead, just getting quiet and saying, Lord, are you trying to get my attention? Are you trying to say something to me? Because you see, sometimes we're so busy kicking and screaming that we don't allow God to speak to us. And then other times you'll find some people, they're not kicking and screaming. You'll find other people are so spiritual, and it's good, they try and pray the situation away. And we've got to pray. Don't get me wrong. We've got to pray. But they miss the next part. God, are you trying to say something to me? Are you trying to get through to me? You know, it's interesting when you look at the story with Saul, is the fact that even though he was so sincere, he thought he's right, he was sincerely wrong. And sometimes we can do the same thing. We're so sincere, and we're praying, and we're trusting the Lord, and we don't even realize. We don't even realize there's an area in our lives that's out of whack, And God is just wanting to help us, just bring us back on track. But we don't see it. Why? Because it's a blind spot. It's like traveling on the highway and you want to change lanes. And as you start changing, man, the car next to you hoots like crazy and you have a fright of your life. And where did they come from? Now, they've been there all along, but they've just been in your blind spot. And sometimes there's stuff in our blind spot that we don't see. And when God tries to get our attention, He wants to highlight that. And so, and let me tell you, at times it's not only God who sees that. Our friends see it as well. And they look at us and they say, man, the way she speaks to him, I can't believe he hasn't packed his bags yet and left. You know? Or, you know, since he started making money in the business or since he got that new position, he's suddenly so arrogant and full of himself and nobody can speak to him. Or you know what I'm saying? Everybody else can see it, but we don't. Why? Because it's a blind spot. So let me tell you a story quickly. I attended a driving course some years ago at Kailami. And so our instructor was a professional racing driver. And so he would take us around the track and then show us what to do and then hop out and one of us would get in. There were three of us in the car with him. And then he would give each of us a turn, show us how to do it. And so now this one lady in the car with us, she'd done a course like this before. And so she thought she was a racing driver. And what was funny, every time he told her to do this, no, she does it like this. No, and then he'd try and correct her, and it was crazy. She knew better. And we would go off the track when she was dry. It was scary. I'm telling you, it was great for our prayer life, but bad for everything else. And so we would go off the track, and man, this went on and on and on. I couldn't believe how patient this guy was. But eventually he stopped her, and he said to her, lady, he says, you've paid a lot of money to do this today, but clearly you know better, and clearly I can't teach you anything. So he says, you wasted your time and your money. And so before you waste our time, spare us the frustration. Go home. Go home. We're sitting in the back of the car. I'm thinking, it's dead quiet. I'm thinking, whew, what was he doing? In a way, he was just shaking her a little bit, figuratively. He was trying to get her attention. And right there, she had to decide, was she going to react? Was she going to grab her oversized sunglasses and high heels and storm off? Or was she just going to humble herself and say, you're right, I'm sorry. And there are times when God tries to get our attention, and the worst thing you and I can do is to react. And that's when, you know, something happens in our life, and if this is how they're going to treat me, I'm out of here. I don't need this nonsense. I'm done with this job, or I'm done with this friendship, or I'm done with this church. What are we doing? We're reacting. Instead of just getting quiet and saying, Lord, are you trying to speak to me? Are you trying to get through to me? Because let me tell you, if we react every time God tries to get our attention, He's going to shake us up again and again and again until we get to the place where we say, speak, Lord, your servant is listening. God will get our attention one way or another. The question is, how long is it going to take? What has God got to do to get our attention? Will it be that still small voice, or does He have to go all the way through the various things to eventually get our attention? You and I have got to decide. So let's get back to the story of Saul. How did Saul go from being this legalistic Pharisee going after the Christians to the great Apostle Paul that you and I know in the Scriptures, whom God used so powerfully to pen more than half the New Testament, and he went on to influence the known world at the time? How did that happen? God left him in the dark. God had to leave him in the dark for a while. Because God was saying, in effect, Saul, I want you to look up to me, and I want you to look within. And by the way, you don't need physical eyes to look up and to look within. God kept him in the dark so that he couldn't be distracted. And all he could do was look up and look within. Because God was saying to him, in effect, I want you to look within, because the problem is on the inside. Can you imagine all the pride and the prejudice in his heart? And God had to sort that stuff out, because God had so much more for him, but he wasn't ready for that. And so there'll be times in your life and in my life where God will leave us in the dark. And when you look at your situation, you say, God, what is happening? God, how are we going to get through this? And when we find ourselves in that situation, just look up. Look up. Trust him. Put your hope and your confidence in him. But do the next step. Look inside as well. In other words, become self-aware. Sometimes we're so aware of what everybody else is doing. We're so aware of their shortcomings and their faults. Man, I hope so-and-so needed to be here. You know, I need to send them this link. They need to watch this. Maybe they do. But I think what's more important is what's happening in our hearts. Because we're not going to give an account for them one day. We're going to give an account for ourselves. And so we need to come before the Lord with an open heart. You see, being self-aware means that when you and I sit and listen to a sermon like this, the first thing we do is we look inside. And we say, Lord, I hear. I hear what you're saying. We're not making excuses. We're not trying to rationalize it. God, because you know and I know, as we sit there, God speaks to us. He's still small voice. And you know and I know there's an area that we need to give attention to. And the best thing we can do is just to come and say, Lord, your servant hears. What would have happened if God said to Saul, hey, I want to use you in such a powerful way. You're going to be one of the greatest apostles. But there's stuff in your heart that I want to sort out. What stuff? What do you mean? What stuff? He would have made excuses. He would have tried to rationalize it, justify it. And so what does God do? God leaves him in the dark. And eventually he looks inside and he realizes, yes, Lord, you're right. There's some stuff in my heart. And that's why later on when he writes to Timothy, he can say to Timothy, I'm the greatest sinner of them all. What had happened? He looked on the inside. He had humbled himself. He'd become honest. And so that's what it requires. If you and I are going to become self-aware, we've got to be honest about our situation. And do you know this is what God did to a king called Hezekiah? Let me read it to you quickly. 2 Chronicles 32. God withdrew from Hezekiah in order to test him and to see what was really in his heart. Why did God do that? Didn't God know what was in his heart? Of course he did. God knows what's in our hearts. But do we? Sometimes we're so busy with stuff. We're so busy. We don't even realize. Man, there's a stinking attitude on the inside. Or there's a critical attitude. Or whatever. And so sometimes God stops us, gets our attention to reveal to us what's on the inside and to give us the opportunity to just come and humble ourselves and say, Lord, you're right. You're right. This thing is not right. And gives us the opportunity to correct that. And the moment we do that, we can make progress. We can move on. And so very often, I want you to hear this. When God wants to get us to sort out stuff in our hearts, he's busy preparing us for greater things. God has got more for us. And that's what he did with Saul, who became Paul. God wanted to sort out the nonsense in his heart because God said, man, I'm busy preparing you. I've got so much more for you. But in the state that you're in now, that stuff that's in your heart is not good. And isn't that what happened to Joseph? God spoke to Joseph through a dream, told him he would be part of the redemption story of the children of Israel. He would play a key role in that. And then how does the story unfold? Oh, he ends up being a slave for years. And then he ends up being in prison for years. And I'm sure there were times where he was pounding the walls of that prison saying, God, how can this be? God, what about the dream? Was the dream correct? Oh, absolutely. Did God still have a plan with his life? Absolutely. But God was busy preparing him for that plan. Isn't that what happened to David? Remember what happened to David? Prophet comes and anoints him. From the time he's anointed to the time he's on the throne, 15 years. If you go and page through your Bible, it's like 20 chapters later. Those 20 chapters were some of the darkest chapters in his life. What was God doing? Busy preparing him. You see, sometimes God makes the greatest deposits during the darkest times in our lives. God makes the greatest deposits during the darkest times in our lives. I remember when my dad went to be with the Lord. If I look back now, God made so much deposit in my life during that time and after that time. I didn't quite see it at the time, but I wouldn't be who I am today if I didn't go through that. And so God uses those times. He'll complete the work that he started in our lives. And so let me wrap it up for us. Next time you go through a difficult time, don't fight with God. Two things. Look up. And we generally do that. We look up, we call out to God, and that's good. Our hope, our trust, our confidence is in him. But look within as well. And ask yourself that question. Ask him, Lord, is there something that you're trying to tell me? Is there something in my life that I need to change? Because the sooner we do it, the sooner we change, the sooner God can move us on. And very often when he does stuff in our lives, because he's busy preparing us, God's got more for us. But in the current situation where we're at now, we're not ready for that. And God's saying, man, I want to purify you. I want to sort out some stuff because I want to do more through you. He will complete the work he started in us. Amen? Come on, let's stand. Can we just bow our heads? For some of you, God's already spoken to you. You know what it is. And he's been whispering and whispering. And we put it off and we put it off. Won't you come to him this morning and say, Lord, I hear. I take note. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your love, Lord, and your care. And always wanting the best for me. And God, this area in my life, help me now to come up higher. In Jesus' name, amen. Bless you.